All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 this week. Let's read verses 1 through 11, and it's a little bit to read, but let's do it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, and that's not a misprint, and that's not a bad translation, it says Jesus. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? A lot of the commentators and everything tell you that's Joshua, but that's Jesus. It says Jesus. My Bible says Jesus. I just believe the King James Bible first. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. All right, so that's one of the greatest and most precious promises to a child of God that gives us hope and courage to press on. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. There's more to come. I mean, it's good enough now. But there's more to come. He said Jesus there. If Jesus had given them rest. Well, Jesus does give us rest. He said, ye that are laboring are heavy labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. So we do have a rest now, and that's what these scriptures, I know it's kind of complicated and hard to keep up with as we read through it there, but that's basically what he's saying. There's a rest for the people of God now, and there's another rest coming. A rest. Now, to rest is to stop all movement and exertion, which exhausts our energy and strength. It's what you do at night when you go to bed and turn off the lights. You rest. It's what you do when you just stop working and sit down and stop doing anything. That's rest. Now, the older we get, the more we appreciate rest and the more we want it. You know, little children resist it. They resist rest because they're so excited and occupied with the world around them and all that there is to do. When you tell the little ones there it's time for a nap, do that? Well, they do, Gary. They're not happy. They don't want to take a nap. No, that's right. They tell you so. They got too much to do. They don't want to miss anything. But the older we get, the more we look forward to rest. And the harder it is for us to rest. And one of the common things among older people is that the closer they get to death is the more tired they are. I've noticed that for a long time. You notice that, Esther? No, people. When they get to the point where they're ready to die, that's what they'll tell you. I'm just so tired. Yeah. Physically, as well as just tired of living. Mm-hmm. Tired of this world. I remember Roy, he was just tired of this world. He still got out and did stuff. I mean, up to the very end, he kept going, going, going. I had a project sitting in the driveway when he died, that old truck. But he was just tired of this old world. I'm feeling that too. Tired of all the bad things of this world that assail our soul. and our mind and our body all the days of our life. These little children, they fall and bust their heads and bust their toes, Lissa. I mean, life's just full of that, ain't it? Can you count the times you've busted your toes? No, we'll see. Life works on you. It just, you know, your body just starts doing all kinds of things. And all of them hurt.
Yes.
And it wears you out. Nothing makes you more tired than just hurting.
Yeah.
Or trying to keep on going while you're hurting. You know, I used to hurry through work so I could be free to do something else I wanted to do that I enjoyed more than this. That's why I hurried to get done. Now I try to hurry to get done so I can get somewhere and sit down and rest. Or lay down and rest. And that's the truth. So while the, you know, this important promise of the Scripture, it may not ring so much to Anna and Maddie and Lucas for sure. All of you that are younger, it ain't gonna, you're just gonna be kind of bored with this because you don't understand yet. You're young. Don't ring so much with you who are young about rest. Sometimes it does, though, Esther, don't it? When you're up all night and then have to work all day and then rest sound pretty good to you sometimes. But it takes some, I mean, you got to really be beat down before it stops you. That's the way it is when you're young. I remember going to bed when I was young, just flat wore slap out. But I could get up 7 hours later, and I was good as new. And it don't work that way anymore. It's not going to ring so with your this morning if you're young, but you'll find the longer you live, the more you'll seek refuge for your soul in this promise of God. This is what he's come to here. All that he's stressed so far has been about Jesus and the difference in what we've heard now and who we've heard it from in the gospel, the New Testament, the New Covenant, and all. And then he's inserts this in here. The hope of rest. You know, it's part of our testimony for God. And we may seem to come short of it. That's what he says there. May seem to come short of it. You don't want to fail God in being a good witness for him because of this. I mean, here's what I'm talking about. You can grow weary in well doing. That's why the Bible says, don't grow weary in well doing. For ye shall reap in due season, ye shall reap, if ye faint not.
Right.
Weary is one thing, fainting is another thing. That's quitting. That's giving out. You hear people talk about, I've heard them for years in churches where they got to do. Got to do all this stuff. Got to stay busy. Got to get plugged in. Got to, boy, we got all this going. I hear them talking about being burnt out. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, somebody's burnt out seems to have come short of this promise. You don't burn out if you get rest.
Right.
I mean, by tonight, I'll be tired. But I'll go to sleep and I'll rest. And then in the morning, I'll be okay. Yeah. It's the same in the work of God.
Yeah.
Maybe what they're doing is not really the work of God.
Right.
For certain, they're not getting from God what they ought to get from God. Rest for their soul, for their spirit. Mm-hmm. Your soul needs rest. Your spirit needs rest. Your mind needs rest. Everything about you needs to rest. What does it mean to rest? Stop.
Yeah.
Jesus did it often. He would stop right in the middle of everything and go apart alone to pray. He'd stay up all night while the others did other things. But he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He had rest that they didn't know about either for his soul. He had rest. You do too. So do I. How can we burn out? How do we burn out in the work of God? I just don't believe there is such a thing. Now, if that's what I believe, I believe you're missing something. People talk about being burned out. We're like this. When we're like that, it seems to others that we've failed at this promise of rest. I mean, the fact that we have indeed failed of the promise and not just seemed to fail, that's worse. If you have failed of the promise and you're not just seemed to, there's times when it may seem that way to everybody else. They see you tired and weary and give out. You know, not hopeful, not walking by faith, not, looking to the future with hope not anxiousness as worry, but I mean
anticipation.
There you go. Yeah. It may seem like we've failed, but we haven't failed. But it's really bad when you have failed. I mean, I know people who fail. They just don't make it. They don't have a place of refuge. All the worries and cares and problems of life just get them down. Shouldn't get us down. We have rest now in this life on earth as a child of God. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." You used that verse last month, didn't you? About every time. "And his children shall have a place of refuge." That's not pie in the sky by and by. That's not in heaven someday, sometime, in eternity. That's now. "His children shall have a place of refuge." Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6. "And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain." Well, who's that for? It's for God's people. There's always a way. There's always a shelter. There's always a place of refuge. There's always a place to rest. It's never so busy that you can't find rest. If it is, it's your fault. Now, in the work of God, in your spiritual life, you got to find that time. Y'all listen this morning. We have available to us a place of refuge where we can rest from the toil of life. Toil. I looked at that word a little bit. That means struggle. That means labor with pain. Labor with, adversity. Opposition. Toil. See, Adam and Eve, he put them there to dress and to keep the garden. But it was a pleasure. It wasn't toil. He didn't put them there to toil, but that's what they did after sin entered into the world. Thorns and thistles and the ground will not yield her strength. And you got to fight for every crumb. Toil. That's why Joseph named his son Manasseh. "From all of my toil," he said, "in his father's house." I mean, there's a rest. We have available to us a place of rest. We have a constant comfort and help in the Lord's presence with us. Moses talked about it, and a lot of the prophets and others through the Bible, and David talked about it. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. The Lord is my life. The Lord is my rock. On and on. They referred to their strength, their power. Their ability to go on was God. Have you ever experienced that? When God gave you the strength to go on? He does. He sure does. So he gives us strength when ours begins to fail. There's rest. He gives us rest. There's been times in my life where I got to rest. And boy, I needed it. And it did for me just what it needed to do. But rest is not just an occasional thing at certain points in our life either. Rest is a daily thing. That's why God set it up so we sleep every night. Now, you may be think you're something. You can stay up all night. You ain't going to do it too long. No, you're not. You cannot go but just so many hours, and then you have to rest. Your body will not endure it.
Nope.
Well, what about your soul? What about your spirit? Yeah. What about your heart and your mind? What happens when you get weary in body to your mind? Is it crystal clear and sharp? No, it just gets all foggy and clumsy. And in your thoughts, you get the same way as your body is feeling. So it's time to turn it off for a while. And God made it so we do that every night. It's a picture of rest. And it's also a picture of that rest that remaineth for the children of, for the people of God. It's a picture of the resurrection from the dead. Now, some people picture it a lot better the way they get up of a morning. They're more like the dead rising than some others are. I just sleep. I very seldom have to turn on the alarm clock because I just cannot stay in bed. I just can't stay there no longer. I wake up. I'm done. It's time to get up. So other people, I just sometimes let them go to see how long it's going to take them to wake up. Or if they're going to wake up. Now I quit pointing elbows at each other here. God gives us strength. Now, we don't need a sabbatical year. A lot of people do that, you know. Some people do. They take a sabbatical. That's a year off where they just fish and camp and go sit on a mountain somewhere and go to fast food restaurants. I mean, you know, that's a sabbatical. They rest. You don't need to do that to keep your strength up.
Right.
For we can rest in the Lord every day and every night. Just like you can sleep and wake up every morning. You can rest in the Lord, and you need to do that. Y'all understand? I don't know if I'm getting it across to you or not. I'll veer around that because I want to get in here. Rest is a time of refreshing. We get that from the Lord here. Doesn't the Lord refresh our souls? Mm-hmm. Rest. It's refreshing. It makes you all anew. It recharges you. It puts strength and life and energy back in you somehow. We don't even really know how it works, but we just know that we go to sleep and we wake up and we can go again. Rest is a time when we lay aside the duties and cares of life. And we can do that here. We can do that. You can do that spiritually also. You know, a lot of people have trouble getting it all balanced out here. They live in entertainment and the world all the time except at church. Well, that's not even spiritual at all. That's carnal living. But neither can you just keep your nose in the Bible 24/7 and never think about nothing else. There's too much going on in life. There's too much to be taken care of. We have to take care of things. That don't mean we got to lay this aside to do it. But there's times when you do need to just lay down and rest your mind. Meditate. An old cow will spend a little while eating some grass. Then she'll go down and lay down under a tree and just chew it and chew it and chew it some more, and then swallow it and then chew it some more after it comes back up, you know. How many stomachs has a cow got? Well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing we don't have that many stomachs, because one gets us in enough trouble as it is. But we would do well to learn a little bit from a dumb animal. They call that ruminating. It's the same word as meditating. You can't just drink it in. And you know, the older I get, the more it is this way, and I mean this, so help me, this is the truth. I can't read too much because it's just like drinking out of a garden hose or something in your mouth. I can't swallow it all. I can't assimilate it all. I got to stop and think about this a while. And think about all the other stuff that it goes with. What's that cow doing while they're laying on the ground under a tree in the shade, chewing the cud? They're resting. They're not struggling. They're not fighting the fight. They're just laying there, chewing that cud, thinking about it. They're not thinking. A cow don't think. Now, that's one animal that don't think.
Sure.
But people do. You'd be amazed what it'll do for your soul to just do that. Instead of, I've got to read my 10 chapters, and I've only got 9. And then you hurry and rush through it to get done so you can get to bed because you're so tired. That don't do you no good at all. That don't give you no rest for your soul. You'd be out much, you don't know how much better you'd be off in your soul if you just read until you get something.
Yes.
And then just stop.
Yes.
And go somewhere and just think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stop. Rest. And let it be assimilated into you. It's a time of refreshing. There's a time when we need to lay down everything. In fact, we do it every night when we turn the lights out and go to bed. I mean, no matter what's going on, we still do it, don't we? We may say, well, I just couldn't sleep last night, and I just had an awful hard time going to sleep. Well, sometimes I do have a little time going to sleep, but I always go to sleep.
Yep.
I do.
Yep.
Don't you?
Yes.
When's the last time you stayed up all night worrying? No, you just don't do it, do you?
No.
I mean, I've been with people when the whole world was ending, and they still just went right to sleep. Didn't stop them. Looks like we could do that. If our body makes us do that, looks like the cries of our soul would make us stop and get something we need more than anything, rest. One important point of the moral law of God concerns resting. The Sabbath, you know. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Have you ever realized that that's the one commandment that God established before sin entered into the world and after? He told Adam and Eve, on the seventh day, you do what?
Rest.
You rest. Before they ever sinned. And then after the sin and after God gave the law to Moses, there it is. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You do no work therein. Everything's to stop. The world's crazy, ain't it? The world's gone insane. The world's a madhouse of evil and confusion. You don't reckon it's got anything to do with they don't do that anymore. They ignore the one commandment that God gave before sin came into the world. They ignore it. Sabbath don't mean nothing to them anymore. Rest don't mean anything. They don't even regard their employees, the companies and everything, you know, working these crazy hours like Dakota has to work, you know, where you're just messed up all the time. You can't get no rest. Well, who come up with that evil idea? It's wrong. You can't have no kind of quality of life when you can't rest.
That's right.
Regularly.
Right.
So, then there's this rest that remaineth for the people of God. Well, that's eternal rest with the Lord in His presence forever. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, you hear this at funerals and things often. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So eternal rest, listen to me, it is the cessation, it's the stopping of all that wears us out here in this sin-cursed earth. Just think about it. That eternal rest is when all that stops. Everything that wears us out, everything that just saps the life out of us. That's what it does. Look around you. Look at old people. I look in the mirror and I think, good night. I look at some people and say, time sure ain't been good to you. It ain't good to none of us here on this earth. Everything, the cares of life, the hard labor, the toil, the all of the things that are on us now, that man's added to it, all the microwaves and all of the stuff we got to rub all over us all the time, and everything we use and everything we eat, it's all killing us. It's all killing us. It's wearing us out. And all of that's going to stop. Everything that's doing this to us is going to stop. That's eternal rest. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. And that's wonderful. Our labor here has been toil, but there it'll be pleasure. Just like when he put God, Adam and Eve in the garden to dress and to keep it. Man. Did you ever think? She never had to wash clothes. Never had to cook anything. What did they have to eat? Fruits and vegetables. And they were good just like they were right off the tree. All they had to do was reach up and take it. Life was pretty good that way, wasn't it? Then who messed it up? The things that trouble us here and wear out our mind. You ever get weary in your mind? Just tired of thinking about it. There's a bunch of stuff I'm sick of thinking about. I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of thinking about it. I don't want to think about it anymore. The things that do that to us here, that trouble us and wear out our mind, here will not exist there. So that battle and that struggle will be over forever. It'll cease forever. Think about it. We were talking this morning. We read in Acts. And we got to talking about who wrote Acts and everything. And you know, she realized some things for the first time, you know, about that. And just sitting there, you know, rejoicing about something to think about. It was just, never saw this before. And I told her, I said, you know, that's the way it's going to be in heaven. We're going to spend the first 1,000 years just standing there with our mouth open with everything we didn't see. That was right there before our eyes that we could have known. But our mind's too occupied with the cares of life and the things going on in the world and all of this. And how much are we being robbed of what we could have to think about? In heaven, you're not going to be your mind is not going to be tired and wore out of thinking about things that we think about here. The Bible does talk about a pure mind. Gary, you said something a while ago about a pure heart and everything. It does say pure mind. Also, our minds are not pure. We listen too much. We hear too much. Mm-hmm. We're bombarded with too much. We see too much. We know too much about this world around us. And all that will be gone. See, eternal rest. I'm just trying to get you to peek through the window a little bit like Fee was doing a while ago. If you could just peek through this window and heaven was on the other side and you could see what it was like, you'd be longing for it. You'd be rejoicing about it. That would be your hope someday. Someday, I'm going to rest from my labors. There remaineth yet a rest for the people of God. The struggle to just stay alive, which is what life has become about here. It won't exist there. Do you ever think about that? We simply, you know, here, just to stay alive is a struggle. It really is. Without that vitality in your life, that struggle to live, you die. That's why the older folks and people that get real sick and other people that just despair of life, that's why they just die. They just give up. They quit fighting. Don't they? They just quit. They just quit. But we all do that. We all just keep struggling. We just keep struggling to live. We're losing the battle. Slowly, slowly, we're losing the battle. Death will win over this fleshly body that we live in here. This tabernacle. That's why it's a tabernacle. God didn't say it was anything else. It's a temporary place that we live in. Kind of like a prison. Did you ever hear them talking about the ribs? It's like bars in a jail. We'll simply live there. That's it. We'll just live. And forever. And I know I'm saying things you're not understanding, but I hope somehow I could get it across to you. We struggle to live here. We won't struggle to live there. We'll just live. We'll be alive. He gave us life, and that more abundantly.
Yep.
And it's eternal life. Death's not staring us in the face there. The elements are not working on us there, because they're gone too. I mean, the troubles are gone, so they're not working on us to pull us down. Life is just living. You know, I've said it different times, but people get to the point, and I said, I'd rather live dying. I mean, I'd rather die living than live dying.
Right.
And you know what that means. You know what I'm saying. Instead of just giving up and saying, and just laying down and waiting to die. You know, I've known people that were dying for 30 years. Literally 30 years. Every time you see them, you thought. And they thought they were dying. And so they died for 30 years or more. When they could have been living for 30 years or more. And in heaven, it's going to be living, not dying. Most of us are living, dying here. Even if we don't think about it often, and even if we're young and it ain't on our mind, it's ever before our eyes. And we can feel death, you know, like a buzzard circling over us. It ain't going to be that way there. That's the thing that troubles us here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that thing Spurgeon that you put on there the other day. He talked about, even though the Jordan is still between us.
Yeah.
That fearful Jordan River.
Yeah.
But that's what David was talking about when he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. So we'll simply live and forever. And without the threat of death over our heads, and without the constant withering away of the vessel in which we live. There will be no arthritis there. There will be no dementia there. There will be no gray hair there. You know, there will be no loss of feeling in your fingers and hands. And you won't feel that cold hand anymore.
Right.
Here, we get a rest some of the time. And that's enough to get us through. We rest some. Isn't sleeping bliss? When you're asleep, you just... You go to sleep and you wake up 7-8 hours later and here's the world again. But you didn't even have to think about it for the last... And you don't care what happened. It doesn't matter what happened. You weren't there. And that's all we get here. We get it every day. We get a little break. I hope you're getting a little break for your soul, too, and your mind. Then rest and peace will be the theme of our existence. It'll be rest. That's why it's such a big deal. God made a big deal of it in the very beginning with the Sabbath. It was the picture of what He's going to do with man for eternity. Rest. So how sad is it then when some come short of it. That's what the verse said there. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Think about the horrible consequences of it. To inherit eternal restlessness instead of eternal rest. Most people have a concept of eternity in heaven as a continuation of life as it is here on earth. Why would anybody even want such a thing? Toil, labor, trouble. But to inherit eternal restlessness, to struggle through this life until they're worn out physically and mentally and spiritually and then exist forever in the same restless, worn out state with infinite misery added to it. You miss it, that's what you get. If you come short of it, That's what you get. You're not going to experience eternal rest if you don't get some of it here. Everything you're going to have in heaven, you got right now. In some measure. We do. And rest also. People talk about revival. That's what that is. It's waking up, refreshed. And you're not going to do that if you stay up all night. Okay, the scripture here makes it very plain what causes such a terrible thing to happen. If you come up short, why did you come up short? Unbelief. Nothing else. Unbelief. Simply not trusting God and living instead in fear, looking to self or other people for provision, for safety, for rest. That's the only thing that's going to make you inherit eternal restlessness rather than eternal rest. Trust God. So in verse 11 there it says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. You know who can't sleep at night? The people who lay around all day sleeping. Without labor, rest doesn't happen very well. When you labor, you can rest. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. Now that's to us. That ain't talking about the Old Testament people. That's you and me right here and now. Let us labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. There's different pictures there. The land of Canaan was a rest for them. But it wasn't the final rest. It wasn't the rest that God really meant for His people. It's just a picture of it. An earthly picture of it. So I was talking about earlier when I was talking about the underground church thing. You know, God didn't give, He gave Israel all kinds of physical memorials and physical things, land and a kingdom and all of that. But He didn't give us any of those things. You know, physical. He didn't give us land. He didn't give us a earthly kingdom. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. And so you got to understand the rest and you got to understand the labor. Labor. Jesus said, if you labor and are heavy laden in this world, He's talking about that laboring in the world, let him come unto me and I'll give him rest. He said, He didn't say you don't have to work if you come to me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Works a whole lot better if you enjoy it, ain't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the key.
You know, you can see this in people. It's kind of like some of the, you know, if you see somebody that's irritable, frustrated, has all the traits of somebody that just wore slap out. They don't pay attention. I can't listen. Might be rest is a problem. Might be they're not resting. Well, I'm thankful for rest here, and I'm looking forward to the rest there. More every day I live. I'm glad God gave us that. That dying and departing from this life is not going to be a continuation of the same old thing.
Yeah.
Mike, there ain't going to be no slabs in heaven. There ain't no sawmills there. And there ain't no junk equipment that you have to work on all the time. I've thanked God many times for that.
No scares.
The things that plague us here, the things that wear us out here, not going to be there.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that do that to me here. Every time I look at one and say, that ain't going to be there. Thank you, Lord.
Yep.
Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the promises. Thank you for the Word here this morning and a reminder. We need it. Lord, the world is wearing us out. And the Bible says that the Antichrist, that man that's coming, he wears out the saints. Lord, I pray you'd help us to get the rest we need to be balanced in the way we live, and that we don't be too unbalanced and try to do what more than we are able. Help us, Lord, to take what you give us and use it for your glory. And help us, Lord, to walk in your strength and not our own. Help us, Lord, to realize where we get our strength and how we can go on when we do grow weary. And Lord, help us not to seem to fail either of this promise. It's important before our children, our family. It's been important before this world that we live in that we show forth a steady, faithful testimony of what you do for us, and that what we have here is real and it's not just religion we're practicing like so many others do, but that we do get our strength from heaven, and that, Lord, we have a hope that's steadfast and sure, and that is that rest that's remaining yet for us. We're on a journey. We're not there yet, but Lord, we're getting close. We're in the final lap here, and I pray you'd help us not to grow weary in well-doing. And help us, Lord, not to faint, but to stand. Go with us now and bless the Word of God to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.